All right, Saints, let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, you are so good. God, your word is food and it is life. God, thank you for feeding me, Lord God. Thank you for the new revelations and understanding of your yoke, Lord God. I pray that you bring revelation and understanding to my brothers and sisters, God. Let them see that they walk in the easy yoke in your way, Lord God. And your way is the best way, God. Show them that there's life with you, Lord, and that they now walk with the true and living God, Lord. Bless our time today, God. Be in our mouths, God. Just allow your presence, Lord Jesus, to be felt here, God. Let this not be an ordinary moment, Lord God, but that you, an experience of you and your presence through your word, Lord God. Bless our time, Jesus. Amen. All right, Saints, so we're back in Matthew 11. In the past couple of weeks, we've laid some good foundation, hopefully, on yoke and burden. And so now we're going to get into some more meatier topics up here in Matthew chapter 11. So we're going to start Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read the verses we've been reading the past couple of weeks, verse 28 through 30, and then we're going to go from there. Okay. And just a disclaimer today, I want to put this out front. Some of the things that I may say today is probably something that Dallas Willard said. He was a major influence on me when it comes to this topic of life in the spirit, the easy yoke, which we'll talk about. That's one of his favorite topics, is the easy yoke of Christ. And so I'm not quoting him directly, but I'm sure some of the stuff that I said is probably influenced by him. So if it sounds like plagiarism, I'm letting you know. That's probably what it is. All right. Chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. All right. So I'm going to jump right in, Saints, where we've been at. Give a little recap and just kind of move forward. All right. So the Word of God says, this is Jesus. He's speaking to the people, our Lord and Savior, the Mashiach, the Messiah. Oh, my goodness. The Word of life is down. The Logos has come down to earth, and he's speaking to the people. And he says these words here, beautiful words here, he says. Look what our Lord says in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Over the past couple of weeks, we spent time trying to understand the historical use, the contextual use of the words burden and yoke, how Jesus was using it, right? We can't just take our own meaning of something, our own understanding. When you study scripture, you want to understand the historical use of a term. That'll give you a better understanding of the speaker. And so we've been looking at the historical use of this words yoke and burden. So let me give you a recap, right? Yoke was when you were going to follow a teacher, a rabbi, and become their disciple. And you were saying to this person that you were following, I believe that you got it right, that you know the way to God, that you know how to live righteously, that if I follow you, I could walk in the will of God the right way. So when I believed that a teacher was doing that, I would be their disciple, meaning I would take on their yoke, and I would let them guide me and follow me and show me the way that is pleasing to God. They would show me the way that brings life. They were literally taking on the yoke. So that's where you have this term yoke, right? Remember the agricultural use of this term. You have that equipment or that contraption that goes around the yoke of an ox, and it connects with another ox, and they walk together. And so that's what's metaphorically happening here when you take on a teacher's yoke in the first century. And since we are disciples of Jesus, that means we have taken on Jesus's yoke. We have yoked ourselves up with Jesus, and we're saying, Jesus, I believe you are the way. I believe you know how to live the best life. I believe that if I follow you, I will walk in the will of God. I believe that you will lead me to true life. So I'm taking on your yoke, and I'm going to listen to you and follow what you say. That's taking on the yoke, right? And so we've all, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have taken on Jesus's yoke, right? You're saying, you will show me the way. That's what it means to take on the yoke. Now there's burden. Burden was a metaphorical way of describing the instructions are the do's and don'ts, air quote, of the person that you're yoked up to. So if I'm yoked up to a person, I believe they're going to show me the way. The burden, what we would carry, the load would be their instructions or their, air quote, do's or don'ts of what they say. That is the burden. So we have yoke and burden, right? And last week we looked at two subjects to describe what the burden looks like, right? We looked at Sabbath laws, right? And I talked about how if I was going to be a disciple of Rabbi Shammai, he had a pretty heavy yoke and burden when it came to observing the Sabbath. Remember, we were talking about how if you were yoked up to Rabbi Shammai saying, Rabbi Shammai, I believe that you're going to show me the way to God, then I'm going to listen to what you say. And Rabbi Shammai had a heavy burden on the Sabbath. His burden was that you literally had to kind of limit how far you walked on the Sabbath. Because if you walked or traveled too far, it was considered work. And now you're violating the Sabbath. Now you're violating God's laws. And so now you have this guilty conscience. Why? Because I walked too far. Why? Because Rabbi Shammai said we can only walk so far. So now I'm carrying this burden on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is no longer a day of rest, but it becomes a day of anguish because I just don't want to violate God's law. I don't want to disobey my rabbi, right? So that was a burden you would carry if you walked with Rabbi Shammai. He had a heavy yoke and burden on the Sabbath. It was so heavy that some people didn't even know if they could do good on the Sabbath, if they could help somebody on the Sabbath. And this is one of the things that Jesus was scolding the Pharisees about in Mark chapter 3. Let me read it to you. Let everybody get there, so I'm just going to read it to you. And I want to show you how Jesus was scolding them because of this heavy burden that they had placed on the people where they were scared to even do good on the Sabbath. Why? Because the teachers had put these heavy burdens on the people saying, yeah, you can't even do that because you may violate the Sabbath. So this is what I want to read to you here in Mark chapter 3. Just listen with your ears here. It says this, and he entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. He's talking about Jesus. He enters into a synagogue, right? Verse 2 says, they were watching him, Jesus, to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Think about that. Is he going to heal him? Is he going to do good on the Sabbath? We're going to watch this guy. Why? Because, again, the teachers of that day had put this heavy burden on the people that you can't even do certain good things on the Sabbath, right? So look what it says here. And verse 4, he says this. And he said to them, I'm sorry, I skipped over verse 3. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. Verse 4, and he said to them, this is Jesus, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or kill? But they kept silent. Why? Because they know the teachers of the law say, you can't even do good on the Sabbath. And we don't want to violate these teachers that we esteem, so I'm not even saying nothing, right? And so, he says, verse 5, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And watch what happened with these Pharisees. You can see which camp they were probably from. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. They want to destroy Jesus. Why? Because he violated their Sabbath in their eyes. They laid these extra rules about how you can act on a Sabbath, and Jesus violated their Sabbath because he did good and healed a man on a Sabbath. So now they want to destroy this man and take his life for doing good on a Sabbath. Why? Again, because there was these burdens placed on the people about how you act on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, later on in the Gospels, he begins to scold all of the teachers of the laws and the Pharisees because they had put such heavy burdens on the people. And the verse that we read last time that I'll read to you again is in Luke 11:46. Let me just read it to you. Jesus says this to the lawyers. He says, woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. So these burdens, these extra do's and don'ts, see, there was already God's laws and commandments, but the teachers in Israel would add extra things on top of God's commandments. They would add extra do's and don'ts. These were the burdens. And these burdens that they would add on the people were so heavy that people would want to turn away from God. They would like, I can't follow Yahweh. I can't follow God. It's too hard. The teachers have too many rules, too many restrictions. And so that's why many people in Israel stopped following the Lord, because of the heavy burdens that many of the religious teachers were placing on the people. And they're like, I can't even follow God. You make it too hard to follow the Lord with all of your man-made restrictions and burdens and your do's and don'ts. And so they were turning away from God. But in steps the gospel now. In steps Jesus, who sees these people who are heavy laden, who are weary from all of this extra religious instructions and all of the extra do's and don'ts. And Jesus sees these people. He sees that they're looking for the kingdom of God and trying to serve God. But you religious leaders are making it so hard to serve them. And so Jesus looks at these people that are so weary and heavy laden from all of this extra religious instruction, these extra do's and don'ts. And he says those beautiful words that we just read. He says to those people that are weary and heavy laden, he says, come to me. Come to me. And then later he says that my yoke, we just talked about yoke. He says, my yoke, Jesus, my yoke, he says, is easy. And he says that my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's like he said, I see this heavy yoke and burden that the people have placed on you. And he said, come unto me, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I see that yoke. I see those extra restrictions that God didn't even command, but that they've placed on you. That's not from God. So come unto me. Take on my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yoke. When I hear Jesus say these words, I think about the old yoke that I used to have. See, I used to be yoked up to Benjamin Franklin. Anybody know what Benjamin Franklin is? Yes, money, Benjamin Franklin. I was yoked up to Benjamin Franklin. I went unto him. I let Benjamin Franklin show me the way. And there's many people in prison right now from being yoked up to Benjamin Franklin, because Benjamin Franklin, guess what? He has a heavy yoke and burden. His yoke and burden is so heavy, people will kill for it. It's so heavy, he will call you to kill for more of him. He will call you to lie to your family for more of him. He will call you to steal for more. He has a true heavy yoke and burden, that dollar. But that was me. What about you? What were you yoked to before you began believing and following Jesus? What were the things that had your heart? What were the things that you said, I will follow you and I'm going to let you give me life? Think about it. What were those things? Before you met Jesus, you were yoked to something else. There was something else you were looking to, saying, leave me. You're going to bring me life if I follow you. For me, it was money. What was it for you? We all had certain things that we were yoked up to. There's certain things that just took our whole life. And if we're true, that yoke and burden that we were carrying with those other things outside of Jesus, it was really heavy, wasn't it? Those things had a heavy burden upon our life. It was a heavy yoke. It had heavy requirements. So think about it. What was it for you? Was it a thing? Was it a person that you were yoked to, that you were saying, lead me, you're going to show me the life? Was it a thing? Was it an object? Was it a passion or a desire that you had, that you allowed that to lead you and let it be your Lord, your Messiah? What were you yoked to before you came to Jesus? What was directing your life?
Pride.
That's a heavy burden. We're going to actually speak to that a little bit later. Pride, anger, those were the things you were yoked to. But Jesus says, I love it. He says, come unto me. You don't got to be yoked to those things anymore. He says, you were heavy burden, heavy laden. He said, come unto me. In Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me. And he says, to learn from me. And he says that I'm going to give you rest for your souls. I'm going to give you rest for your souls. Those people who are out there heavy laden and burdened for all these extra do's and don'ts, all of this extra religious instruction, all whatever that thing you were yoked to that has brought you so down, that was such a heavy burden to carry. Jesus is now saying, come unto me, learn from me, and I will give you true rest, because those things never gave you true rest. Think about it. All of those things that you were yoked up to, that you allowed to lead you, it never gave you true rest. Jesus, he sees that, he sees you. And so he's saying, come unto me so that I can give you that true soul rest. That's deeper than just rest. He's talking about rest for your soul, the deepest parts of you. Jesus has given us the invitation to come yoke up to me. Come learn of me, meaning come be my disciple. Come learn of my ways. Come see my life. Follow me, learn from me. And as you do that, he said, you're going to find rest for your soul. As you take on my yoke and become my disciple and take on my burden, you're going to find rest for your soul. But how does he do that? How is he tying and taking on his yoke, learning from him, resulting in rest for our souls? How does he do that there in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Well, if you go to Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and in your Bibles, in verse 29, when he says that you will find rest for your souls, how is that verse written? Do you see how it's written probably a little bit different from the other verses? It's capitalized. Why do you think it's capitalized? He's what is he quoting? Probably the Old Testament. Come on, Sister Debbie.
I guess it's show me where.
Right, right. But no, you're right. When he says he's going to give you rest for your souls, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting part of a verse. And so in order for us to understand the context of what he's saying here in this part of a verse that he's quoting, you need to go back to the full verse in the Old Testament. Then that will help you to understand what he's meaning and saying right here. So he's quoting Jeremiah 6, verse 16. He's just quoting the end of it. So let's go to Jeremiah 6, 16 to see what he's quoting. And then that'll help us to understand what he's saying here in Matthew 11. Outside of that, you will miss what he's saying here in Matthew 11. We here? So this is the prophet Jeremiah. I'm sure we all love Jeremiah. God called him as a prophet. He's going to Israel, to the people. And as you can imagine, at this time in Israel, things are not great. The children of Israel are going after other gods, serving other gods. They're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. So judgment is now going to be come on the people. And God is sending the prophet to let them know, basically to repent, to turn. But people don't want to listen. He's giving them a second chance. But they have now strayed away from God. They strayed away from Yahweh, from keeping his commandments. And now they're serving other gods. And so God has given him a chance, and look what the Lord says here in verse 16. We hear Jeremiah 6:16. Look what he says here. This is God speaking. He says, thus says the Lord. Or this is what the speaker is saying. He says, stand by the ways. See and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And look what he says to the next portion. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. That is what Jesus is quoting at the end. So he says, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is. Walk in it, meaning live in this way, live in it. And then look, and you will find rest for your souls here. So what is the point here? These children of Israel, the people, they were not walking in the good way. They were not walking in the ancient path. I mean, they were not walking in the commandments and ways of God. And God is saying, if you turn back to these, to walk in the ancient ways, to walk in my commandments, then you will find rest for your soul. So when Jesus says that in chapter 11, he said, I'm going to show you the good path. I'm going to show you this ancient way, the way of God that leads to rest for your soul. So come follow me, come learn of me, and as I show you the way that leads to rest for your soul, I'm going to show you the path of life. I'm going to show you how life is supposed to be lived. I'm going to show you how to walk in the will of God. Come, learn of me, be my disciple, yoke up with me, and as you learn of me and walk with me, you will find rest for your souls. That's the point of come unto me. That's why he's saying come and be my disciple. See, many people in this world will tell you that they know the way, that they know the way that's going to bring you happiness, that they know the way that's going to bring you life, that they know the way that's going to bring you rest for your soul. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm the way. You come unto me. I will lead you to that path. I will show you the way of righteousness. I will show you the path of life. It's me. You come unto me. See, all those other things we tried, none of them led to rest. All of those other things were just heavy and burdensome. But Jesus is saying in Matthew 11, come and walk in the easy yoke. You've already been walking with the heavy yoke and heavy burden. He's inviting you to walk into the easy yoke. So saints, do you realize this? Do you realize that when you share Jesus, that you are offering people the easy yoke? Do you realize that our lives, the way of Jesus, should be an example or a picture of the easy yoke? Do you realize that? Saints, we follow Jesus. We walk in easy yoke. The world, they're walking with the heavy yoke and heavy burden. We've been there before, but now as disciples of Jesus, as we follow him, we are walking in the easy yoke. As we follow him, remember what yoke means. That's why I said I spent those days trying to lay that foundation for yoke. Remember, yoke meaning you're teaching your way of life, right? It's Jesus' way of life. He says, my yoke is the easy yoke. So saints, when we share Jesus, you are inviting people or offering people the easy yoke. And your lives, our lives should be a reflection or a picture of the easy yoke. And when I say the easy yoke, meaning our lives should be a reflection of Jesus's way, his way of life, his way of seeing the world, his way of seeing family, his way of seeing power, his way of seeing money and finances. We are a picture of the easy yoke as we follow this. See, the whole world is looking for the easy yoke. The whole world is looking for their soul to find its rest. And they're going all over trying beauty, trying drugs, trying party, trying money, trying fame. But we have the easy yoke. It's Jesus. He's going to lead you to that peace you're looking for, that rest for your soul that you're trying everywhere to find. You're yoking yourself to everything possible, but it will never lead to soul rest. It's only through Jesus when you can begin to walk in the easy yoke where you find the soul rest. So that's what I mean when I say when we go out and we share Jesus, everybody is yoked. If you're not yoked up to Jesus, you are yoked up to some heavy burden. This is my timer. Goodness. All right.
Okay, time's up.
No. My goodness. Let me finish this thought. Well, we were going to do a part two anyways, but I want to finish this thought, and I want to give you time for your group to. I guess I'll. Maybe this is a good place to stop. Maybe this is a good place to stop. But back. So I'll just make the final point I was making. Just when we go out. We have to go out knowing that people, if you're not yoked up to Jesus, you're yoked up to something else. It's something else you're looking to for life. And Jesus already says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So whatever it is you're yoking up to, it's not as easy and light as what Jesus offers, the life that he offers. And so we have to go out there knowing this.